Okay.
Hey, let's put Rodney in charge of technology since he figured out that he could look on his phone.
I don't know if you...
Sad.
My phone gives me a reminder, but I have to remember to look at it. You know. Well, look, guys, we've got a couple of days before we get into kind of a holiday weekend. So, you know, hopefully you guys have some plans for a little relaxation here after probably working pretty hard.
Well, I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, but I'm sure I can find some reason or some way to relax a little bit.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, look, I always like to start these calls with your agenda first. So this is our opportunity to talk about anything that is on your mind, anything that I need to pay closer attention to. And then you can also share with me how you think it's going with the team. We've got, you know, a new team that's going through the dimensions of storming, forming, norming, and then performing, which are the kind of the transitions that all teams go through. So we've got those things, and then we probably want to spend a little more time today on client acquisition. So why don't you go first, Russ or Rodney, and kind of tell me, give me an update on how things are going, what's on your mind, what you'd like to start with first.
Okay.
Go ahead, Russ, if you want to.
I can tell you. I mean, this is Russ. I can tell you what I had in on my mind in terms of getting your guidance on the most.
Okay.
And I guess to me, our meetings and our calls with our clients, that's primarily, you know, practice, maintaining the practice.
Right.
And developing relationships with COIs, meeting with people that we don't know, that's where the growth is.
Right.
And asking to be introduced. So one of the things, we have a list of COIs. It seems pretty easy to set up a meeting with them and get an audience. Whether that materializes into something that can help us is certainly to be determined. That's a real sort of a slow process. But the let's say we talk with our clients and we identify five people and we want to meet them. It's still kind of a challenge of how to execute that. One thing that we're comfortable with is, hey, let's create an excuse, a social engagement, invite them to a lunch with a couple people. Let's, you know, invite them to a happy hour or something like that. We can do that, also slow. I crave something overt where we can just say, hey, listen, you told me about John, and you told me about Sue, and you told me about Mr. Smith. Let's call those three people today and set appointments. But that's where I feel like I don't have it. I don't know
okay.
how to set the appointment because that sounds like that's supposed to be the 90-day free look.
Right.
But getting from I got a name, you know, Sue, how do I get to 90-day free look? I would like to spend some time on that, I think.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right, we'll come back to that, kind of getting the name, getting the appointment. So, Rodney, how about you?
I think, I still think we're kind of where we were last time, well, maybe I'm kind of second guessing the process of 12 scheduled contacts per year because, you know, we're Russ was a part of a financial planning seminar or program. I missed that meeting, but anyway, there's a lot of successful people that are doing the two meetings per year, three meetings per year, and then of course they will touch clients. Either through social media or scheduled emails we have, hard, you know, materials that are automatically sent out. So they're probably getting 12 touches, but it's not those, you know, phone calls or in-person meetings.
Okay.
So the right now where I sit, the people that want to have the 12 conversations per year are the older people, you know, who are nervous about the market, and they're not, you know, they're probably not the kind that are going to refer a lot, or they haven't at this point. You know, they're, and I don't think that's the, you know, demographic that we really want to be impressing and who need the as much service. I mean, they still do because it's a critical time for them. And that's okay. You know, if we want to add value to the clients and meet their needs. So that's not a problem, but that's just kind of a bouncing around in my head. I mean, I've got some of the biggest opportunities for the future, you know, are like these 40 to 50 year old, kind of higher end executives, you know, they probably are worth, you know, $1 million to $3 million, you know, as they sit now. And they're busy executives. You know, one told me very clearly, you know, I don't want to get anything hard copy from you. Send me everything electronic. And I only want to talk at the most, you know, once per quarter. And he's probably the biggest opportunity for the future. So anyway, just kind of rethinking that, you know, so any input there is the 12 contacts per year still the way to do things in today's world? So hate to go back to that fundamental premise, but that's one. The other is as far as how we're able to do the other pieces, the growth part.
Right.
I think it's storming. You know, but, you know, with the storm, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And there's a lot of activity. And I know, you know, there will be some fruit from it. I can tell that. But like the meetings with the COIs or the mastermind group, really, in my opinion, is going to die if Russ and I don't do all the work. That's kind of the way it looks to me. Russ, you may have a different opinion, but
I just don't know.
Okay.
So we don't have a mastermind. COIs, Russ has a couple of people that probably are decent COIs, and he's also found a couple that could, I think, be good COIs. But as far as a mastermind, I mean, I think we have COIs and no mastermind group. So that's one thing. The niches, we still don't really have conviction for. We have several ideas, but that's still vague. We probably have, you know, 50, 60 prospects that are decent. And we don't have a good, consistent process. So in my opinion, doing the business is still consuming and kind of distracting from a more focused approach that I think, you know, we have to get to. We have to know where we're going to get the business. You know, whether it's VIPSA, you know, we've been dabbling in that and we really haven't, I haven't gotten any fruit from that at all. Probably because I'm not taking those extra steps. I just need to, Russ and I were talking about one with a really good client. They have friends. You know, we probably need to be more creative, but I mean, we've got too much going on. And we're not going to be good at any of it, cause we're trying to do mastermind, we're trying to do COIs, we're trying to do VIPSA, which VIPSA translates into, more meetings, more events, possibly dinners, things like that. We just, I don't see us. I see on the path we're on, just being too scattered, and we're going to do nothing well, and it's going to continue to be frustrating. I believe we need a honey hole. You know, so many advisors, you hear about these huge successful advisors, and it seems like they have a method or a company or, you know, the thing that works for them, you know, and we just, I don't think we have that. And that'd be nice to, I think we're getting closer, but we still don't have those things.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's good feedback, because what we want to do is we want to succeed here with these things. And, you know, we spend a fair amount of time in Supernova, and these are all good thoughts and good feedback. We spend a lot of time on organization. Okay? So, I'm not defensive about any of this stuff at all. So what we have to do is we've got to figure out how do we get you all moving forward on some of this stuff. And I've already taken a page of notes just on the feedback I've gotten from both of you. So let's do this for a minute. I walk into your office, okay, and as just an observer, and I come in, let's say I came in yesterday. Am I going to see 4 folders on your desk of people that you are going to call relative to what's been articulated in a financial plan or the portfolio, okay? And you have a specific agenda, and let's say that the topic for the month of August and you're finishing up was to have conversations about long-term care, okay? Anybody that's in their late 40s and 50s has got a parent, an elderly parent, that they're going to have to deal with these issues, okay? Which means it's easy to have that conversation. Every time I turn on the news and there's some discussion about finance relative to the older generation, 2 things that come up. 1, can they afford to retire, and health care? Okay? So, you got the media giving you kind of a backdrop of opportunity for discussion. Okay. So that's the first step. Just those basic things. I'm an observer. I've come into your office. Do you have the folders? Do you have a specific agenda? Okay. So, why don't you answer that question for me, just briefly.
Well, if you're looking at yesterday, I heavy load, and I think Russ does too, like the first part of the month with all the client contacts.
Okay.
And then fill in the back part more with the growth activity. And this is just to, you know, I don't want to scatter, because we don't have enough clients, key clients or butlers really, to fill up a month. And so the idea is to heavy load the first part of the month or certain weeks. And so we're, you know, just hitting them one after another, getting them done. You know, it's fresh on our mind, the conversation. And then filling in the back part of the month, like I said, with more growth activities and one-off client meetings and things like that. So yesterday, if you walked in my office, I had 1 folder on my office, or my desk, which was for a one-off meeting where we are taking care of some paperwork with a client, and okay. that was it.
Okay. So, but did you have a specific agenda and topic for discussion? In other words, I call you up. The first thing I want to do is cover your agenda, and then, but I've got a couple of specific topics I want to cover. Okay.
Yes, always do that. That's in place.
Perfect. Okay. So we got that part down. No issues with that. So now, the biggest issue is how do we really grow and incorporate some of the 7 methodologies that you could feel most comfortable with. All right. So the next thing I want you to think about, and this is in the notes, is I want to cover this rationale, and I'm going to go through each of the issues that you both raised. Okay. So the rationale for the contact, okay? We obviously got to get more affluent clients on the books, okay, because they have complex issues. They got estate planning issues. They got portfolio rebalancing issues. They got retirement issues. They run professional corporations, so they got defined benefit plan issues. They got tax minimization strategies and issues. They're trying to send their children to elite schools. Their parents are elderly parents. They got all kinds of stuff going on, right? Those are the kind of clients that you want to target. And don't forget, we kind of discussed that in the very beginning of the program. What's your target client? Okay? So now, because they have these issues, you can't throw all of the issues at them in one setting. You gotta plan them out and execute. And as you get more clients, you have to batch process this stuff out. Therefore, you have to have agenda topics so that you're not jumping from retirement plan distributions to a long-term care item to a portfolio rebalancing to an economic overview and just driving yourself nuts trying to keep up with all of the topics that are needed for discussion. So you're planning this stuff out. So that's the rationale. That's why you have the 12 calls. Now, they, in some cases, may only last 15 or 20 minutes. Now, what happens to executives? I like to think that, you know, for a whole lot of years, even though I was a lot closer to the financial markets, that I had a lot of issues still. And I will tell you, I don't think that my advisor really kept in touch. Okay? So, you know, he says, hey, I think we're moving into this area in the market where I think you need to kind of look at your mortgage and maybe refinance it. Okay. So we went and did that. I got these 2 boys I'm trying to get ready for college. So how about that discussion on setting aside the right amount of money for their education? And am I going to go separately manage the accounts, and keep it, you know, in a trust? How are we going to work this? I mean, the complexity of issues just grows exponentially with the affluence of the client. And if any executive says, I only want to talk to you once a quarter, they're not paying attention to everything. Okay? Now, what you have to do is you've got to set it up. So when you have that call and you're talking to them for, let's say, the month of August, and you have a complex issue where they need to provide you information, you need to give them information, that's by the phone. That's the call. But in terms of the next steps and implementation, that's going to require another call, and it may require a subsequent call. Okay, so now maybe we've taken care of that issue. What about how you're going to care for your elderly parents? What about the restricted stock, restricted units and stock options you're receiving? You know, when's your next exercise date? I want to write that down. How are you going to finance the exercise? You know, so on and so forth. Now you're moving more into corporate wellness as a niche market. Corporate wellness strategies. Okay. So what I'm saying is, when you start dealing with the complexity of issues, I'm going to bet, in fact, I don't have to bet. I know this, you know it, that four calls isn't going to cut it. Okay? You know, to develop a plan, get access to the information, and then begin to implement the complexity of issues isn't going to happen in four calls. Plus, keeping them apprised of the markets, giving them economic updates, and talking about topics that concern him the most. And that's the way you get around it. You ask him, let's forget, don't lead with how many calls you're going to get. Okay? Lead with the issues that they face. And that, you know, we need to be in touch. And go ahead and schedule it next month at X time. Go ahead and do it. Don't make the structure of the call the issue with the client. Make the client's problems, okay, the issue. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But how do you feel about it?
I think it's great as long as we're, you know, I think the issues have come up and do come up a lot, but you know, there's one guy in particular, he's one step away from being the president of a pretty large public company. And mm-hmm. you know, he's just traveling a lot. It's kind of hard for him. I mean, he's out of the country, you know, half the time.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so, getting time with him is a little difficult, but you know, we're talking, we are accomplishing things, and I've got a tentative meeting with him and where he lives. And so it's just it may be the way I approach it.
But don't let the one-offs kind of throw a monkey wrench in the process. You're going to have some one-offs that are going to be a little unique, okay? But don't let that reflect on your process, your capability, and your needs. You know, all of a sudden, it's like the carpenter never builds his house. You know, I forget the rest of the story, but you know what I'm getting at. These guys get super, super busy, and you know they're striving and moving up the corporate ladder, but they don't pay attention to the things that they need to pay attention to. And you're the guy that says, "Look, you're moving up the corporate ladder." You know, when you take over a new company, you're trying to establish that culture. You're trying to get the right team on the bus. You know, speak as if you really understand what he's going through. You know, you're looking at your shareholder value. You're looking at the complexities of gaining market share and business sustainability. and you're not going to have time to think about a lot of your, you know, personal issues. Is your wife involved in any of the decisions, or do you handle everything on your own? I mean, so get at the, if I get 10 minutes with you, that's fine. But I got to make sure I'm communicating with you, making sure that there's alignment in terms of the things that we're trying to accomplish. And keep in mind that these calls aren't designed to pick up the phone and I got something to tell you every time I'm calling you.
Right.
That's what people kind of fear. They think that every call is a sales call. Okay. So you're going to work through that best you can and try to start thinking about when somebody is saying, I'm busy, man. I don't have time for this. What are they really saying? Are they saying
they don't see a need?
Right, exactly. I can't see where I've never been involved with a person like this before. In fact, the last guy had called me twice a year. So that must be okay. And what happens is they never get the kind of service that they deserve to get. And guess what? You never get the referral potential out of that relationship that you deserve. You know, this guy becomes president, and now he's got a, you know, you'd like to get a referral from him, and you want him to be able to say, what differentiates Rodney from the rest of the herd out there is Rodney pays attention. He keeps in touch on a regular basis. He demonstrates that value that I'm looking for. Okay. But if the value is never shown, they can never describe it to anyone else. And therefore, you never get the referrals that you deserve to get. So, marshal on. Stay with it. Don't get intimidated or discouraged, because these folks aren't in that, they're not in your business on a day-to-day basis. They don't see what you see. And pretty soon, you're going to have enough stories in your back pocket. You know, look, I have one client, a doctor, and his wife, and I set him up, and I actually knew his sons and daughters. And I set him up with a great trust and portfolio. He had insurance, and when his wife died, insurance proceeds went into the trust. And 5 years later, he died. Everything passed to the kids, avoiding probate. They got a big windfall. And everything was in one place. It was all organized. And, you know, if you asked half these people if something happened to them, you know, unexpectedly, you know, how are the wife and their kids that they dearly love, how are they going to be taken care of?
Sure.
I'm going to tell you, so many of those people, they haven't done. Have your stories in your back pocket. Okay. And I know you have them. You've seen it. You've witnessed the stuff because you're in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens when people's portfolios aren't balanced. You live through the recession of 08, 09. Okay? So you know what can happen. Alright. So that's kind of your rationale. Is that enough rationale for you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the growth part, which is, I got a star by the words, get me the name. Okay. So, we got all these ideas about client development, and you're meeting with people, you got appointments, you got phone calls, okay? So the best time to really, with clients, not necessarily COIs, to get names is during the review. They're happy. They've seen what you've been able to accomplish. And now you're going to ask permission to brainstorm. Now, so here's the question. Have you tried the VPSA model yet? And tell me if you have you had any success, or if you feel still at this stage uncomfortable with the VPSA model.
Russ, I don't want to answer everything or take over the conversation, so do you want to?
Sure.
Can you chime in, Russ?
Yeah, so we are working on our VPSA skills. It seems to be a learned art. Like what you said about, in reality, the conversation itself can be applied to a lot of things, meeting a stranger at a party, social.
Yeah.
It's really trying to get down to what people think is important. So I really like the format.
Okay.
We set a goal in the office here for Rodney and I initially to do one of them, and then to do two of them. And personally, I am making progress on that, but I am trying to do that in the face-to-face review meetings.
Right.
The other thing I'm trying to do is to listen and ask just one more extra question during those shorter calls in hopes of identifying a name. That when we do our reviews and I do the VPSA, that I have sort of an idea of, information that's given me who to meet. You know, so you had mentioned that you play golf with the Smiths.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as part of that. But I would say it's hard to do VPSA because it seems like they can always misdirect you a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, the T part, when you ask their permission to sort of brainstorm, that's where I've had the most trouble. When I ask them, they say yes, and then I take those names and I say, you mentioned Carol and John at work. You tried to introduce me. How would you suggest that we get together? I mean, I'm trying it. I'm just not beautifully executing it. But I don't know how many times Rodney's doing it. I'm doing it most every time that it's an in-person meeting.
Okay. So now what we have to do is it's got to be almost a matter of fact dialogue with the people that you come across, okay? And you know what I think you should do? I think you should, between the two of you, you should have a VPSA campaign for the month of September. Okay, where you're gonna practice, rehearse, and then go out and execute on the VPSA model. So why don't you just role play the situation with me for just a second, okay? So here's the story. I'm Curtis. We've been working together, and you've implemented the 12-4-2 concept, and I'm comfortable with the way things have been going. So why don't you just kind of, you just had my review, and now I'm gonna thank you for really paying attention to my portfolio. So Russ, look, I really appreciate, what you've done, and I really can't thank you enough. You've really helped out my family. What can I do for you?
I wish it would go like that, Curtis. lots of clients are grateful. So, Curtis, I really love hearing feedback like that, and it really helps us feel really great about the work we're doing. You know, I'd like to take a couple minutes to maybe just talk a little bit about that. Can you tell me, you know, you mentioned that you appreciate what we've done for your family. What do you value about this work that we're doing?
Well, you know, one of the things is you really ask the hard-hitting questions. And quite frankly, there were times when I was really a little embarrassed that I hadn't done more. But, you know, you handled it with a great degree of sincerity and professionalism. So, you know, I appreciate you for that. I value that honesty, that integrity, and that sincerity.
So when we ask those hard questions, what is important about boiling it down and asking the hard questions?
Well, you know, look, obviously I've acquired a certain amount of wealth, and some of the questions, I'm a little embarrassed that I haven't done more. And you know, I feel like I'm opening up my life to someone, and I feel like I want to be able to trust them. But, you know, as we continue to work together, and as you focused on my family needs, the needs of, you know, the generation above me, like my parents, and the things I need to do, it really brought home to light how important having a relationship with you really is.
I'm listening. Curtis, let me ask your permission to take this just a step further.
Okay.
You know, the difference you're describing, not just to you, but, you know, a generation above you and below you, you know, we want to offer to make that difference for other people. And
okay.
It seems like what you're telling me is that we're really impacting your life today and your life in the future.
Oh, yes, of course.
I would love to be able to work with other people that are like you, where we can make this difference for them.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that you play golf with Timmy and Rob from...
Oh, yeah, it's like clockwork. Every Friday afternoon... Or every Friday morning, we're out there on the golf course, and then we break for lunch after that.
Well, I mean, this maybe this is obvious, but, you know, I would ask, you know, those are the kind of people that we would like to know, that we would like to, they sound like they're like you, they sound like they're solid people. And how would you suggest that I get to know them? Is it a Friday morning golf outing, or is it something else? What do you suggest that I do to meet them?
Well, you know, every now and then we do have room to add, you know, another party to the golf tournament. But, you know, we meet up at the grill, you know, after golf. Why don't you kind of join me, you know, in the grill room, you know, on a Friday? You know, next Friday's fine, and I'll introduce you to them. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds really, really like a great way to meet them. And, I accept your offer, and I will plan absolutely to be available next Friday. And you'll just have to advise me on the time and the address. And absolutely, it sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, well, good. Let's do it. And, I'm going to give you the instructions of where to meet at the club, and how about if I just send you an email with the instructions?
Sounds perfect.
Okay, great. Okay, so, look, in these kind of scenarios, you know, until you really, really get comfortable, it's simple. The four things you want to cover, what's the value? You know, you want to get permission. You know, what's really important to them? Who would you suggest I meet? And what advice would you give me? I mean, you know, just frame it in the conversation, in a conversational format. You know, Bill, we've been working together for quite some time. Why are you still with me? You know, you can make it humorous. You can do a number of things. You know, I like working with you. I like working with people like you. And we're still building our business as a team, and we're continuing to grow. And, I want to brainstorm with you for a moment. You know, just put it out there. You know, you don't have to be all formal and, you know, be humorous about it. Okay.
And instead of, I didn't know the two golf players that they play together. I didn't have that information. I had not sourced somebody to ask about. Then I literally say, who would you suggest that I meet? I mean,
yep.
That's where I have stumbled is going.
How would you suggest I meet them? How would you suggest I meet them?
Now, I can do that. I mean, go back one where really you say, I'd like to brainstorm a little bit with you. And you mentioned, you know, that you like how we ask our hitting questions and, you know, this difference that we make for your family, your up above you, your parents, your kids, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is how I go to, let me ask you who you'd like me to meet. I'm still struggling right there.
Okay. So what you're doing here is you're asking for permission to brainstorm who in your world,
okay,
you know, do you know that would benefit from some of the things that we provide clients, or some of the ideas that we provide clients that would be willing to sit down and have a dialogue with us?
Okay. So just as straightforward as you're saying it, don't make it hard, don't be afraid, just ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And how would you suggest I meet them? And, you know, just go through it. Who in your network do you know that would enjoy receiving, you know, kind of the differentiated service that we provide our clients?
Okay.
Okay.
So can we go to the idea? So let's say we do that. We get some suggestions on how to meet. I did one of these with a family, and they said, oh, well, you know, I've told all these people about you at work. I've given them your card. And I'm like, But I said, you know, a lot of times when you do it that way, it's awkward for them. It feels like business and pressure. And I said, well, what do you do with these people? And they said, well, we go out to dinner as couples.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could come up with is I would suggest that I'd like to host you guys for a nice dinner, you know, on me and no business, just a nice dinner. That's
mm-hmm.
a nice low-key way for me to meet everybody.
Right.
And they said that, yeah, they'd love to do that, but we did not pull off getting it scheduled. It got, difficult at that point.
Okay.
But let's just say that they don't just give me names like that. Let's say
mm-hmm.
that instead someone tells me, but we're not doing VIPSA, and they tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go cold? Like, so we had Rodney, we had that COI meeting this week, and the COI brought another COI as part of her
mm-hmm.
team. And one of them self-identified as a candidate, the other one really did not.
Okay.
And so how do I take the fact that I know them and
mm-hmm.
turn them into prospects and a 90-day free look at least?
Right.
Can you walk us through that?
Okay, so someone's bringing somebody to meet you, right? Is that the scenario, if I'm understanding it correctly?
Right, because it's kind of like a business partner, and we set up
right.
a referral.
Okay, so let's say that this person is, their name's Russ. So Russ, look, I really appreciate you, joining us for the meeting today. And, I'm always interested in meeting other successful people like yourself. And I'd like you to be able to get an understanding of how we work with clients in hopes that you might be a client one day. One of the things that we like to do in order to give people exposure to our business is we like to give them what we call a 90-day free look. Let me explain what we do there. We have a series of calls with you, and we treat you as if you were a client, which means we ask you some profiling questions. We talk about investments. We talk about some of the things that are on your mind. If during a period of 30, 60, or 90 days, you like what we are delivering or proposing and communicating, we would like to ask the question if you'd be willing to work with us under, you know, certain kinds of circumstances that you, you know, provide us. And if the answer is yes, then, you know, we gain a new relationship, which we will handle with kid gloves. How do you feel about that, Russ? And there's no cost, there's no obligation. So now you fill it out for the close. How do you feel about that? And you keep your mouth shut and you let them speak. How does that approach sound to you, Russ?
Yeah, it sounds like a good way to approach things.
Okay. So, you know, you have to use what you feel most comfortable with. I'm giving you how I might do it, but the point of the discussion is, you know, something will come up, something will flash. You know, you're the type of person we like to work with as a client. You know, and I want to talk to you about how we go about our process. And, you know, boom, this other person who you're working with has made the personal introduction, and you know, can also chime in and support that guy. The guy's got me on a call schedule. We're organized. This is what I value. You know, all of those kinds of things prior to the personal introduction.
Okay.
And so that this doesn't get, you know, too expensive. If you could do lunch, that would probably, you know, work. Because people know that, you know, hey, it's not going to be more than an hour, and then if it progresses, then you progress it to a dinner, but, you know, that's one of the things, because dinners get intimate. But COIs, on the other hand, are constantly, referring people to you, so dinners with them are certainly okay.
Okay. So, you know, what I'm doing is I'm opening our prospect list. Roddy, and
okay.
There's 50 or 60 names. Is, gosh, I'm surprised there's a whole lot more on there than that. There's 150 names
okay.
that we've recorded with various, you know, strings where we think we might pursue. We've sourced some names lately. We have things that we're trying to do. We've had social events. We have those. We're calling those people. And the COIs are on there, too. So there's quite a few names at this point, probably.
Right.
So we need to really, really go after them. And that's what's
okay,
going to be so overt.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So
even if they all
remember what we coached you on. Every prospect gets a folder. Every prospect gets scheduled. Right?
Well, they are only scheduled if they agree to do the 90-day free look, if that's my interpretation.
Well, yeah, or they agree to speak with you again.
Okay.
All right? So if they're not, you know, going to talk to you, then, you know, they haven't been personally introduced to you.
Okay, so socially, let's just think. I've got some samples on here. I've got two attorneys, and I've got the owner of a tow truck company.
Okay.
That I met at a social engagement, and we have some charity stuff in common. One of our pseudo niches that we've been messing with is the legal professional.
So okay.
I've got two people that are in our niche, and then I've got this business owner, tow truck company owner. So that's one of our other three identified niches, even though we're supposed to have two.
Okay.
Business owner. So it's here it is. It's a social engagement. When I call them and when I approach them, am I calling them a COI? And I'm trying to have a coffee with them just to kind of get to know them and, you know, see what.
Okay, a COI is not somebody that you're trying to get to know. A COI is somebody that you already know. They know you, and they are willing to refer people to you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, then there's those that could become a COI in the making, and there's those that could become clients that want to entertain this relationship with you, and they possibly could even join your mastermind group. So you've got to decide where these people fit.
Okay, so these two attorneys and this I can't say it. I should probably avoid them just because I can't say their business. Tow truck owner.
Okay.
So I want to propose a 90-day free look. Can you pretend and walk me through how I go from, hey, I've got this great name and I met him. What do I do with it?
Okay. So, let me make sure I'm understanding the framing here. You've got the two attorneys. Now, question. Do they know about your business? Do they know about your team?
No, I would say no. None of them do. They know generally what I do, and we are both passionate about a similar charity.
Okay. So, you know, the way that I would set this up look, we're building a multi-million-dollar asset-based practice. We work with people that have the need for attorneys of various natures, and we want to be able to enthusiastically endorse the people that we work with. So, I'd like to come in with my partner and spend some time chatting with you about how we work with professionals like yourself. And I'd like to learn a little more about your practice, which you specialize in, how you work with clients. You know, I want to know that if I provided any referrals, would you provide my clients with a costly consultation before an engagement? So, you know, now you're setting it up. What do you think that attorney is thinking right now?
Oh yeah, I can see that working, and at least they'll take the time to meet us to see if there's material there. Okay, you could do that with an accountant or whatever.
Exactly.
So how about the tow truck company owner? Just met them, liked them. I've got some former military, as do I, so we had just a couple of things in common.
Okay. So with the tow truck guy that already likes you, now you wanna get down to kind of business and you know, it's all about how you want to close for the engagement. So I would say, look, Joe, at the tow trucking company, one of the areas that we specialize in as a team is in the area of entrepreneurs and business owners. And you know, I'd like to kind of meet with you, learn a little more about, you know, your business and some of the challenges and opportunities that you see, you know, for yourself. And I'd like to describe to you how we're working with affluent business owners like yourself. Are you available on Tuesday in the afternoon to have that discussion? And, you know, I just, you know, you almost have to literally script everything until, you know, these scripts are incorporated in your brain. Okay? So.
Yeah, okay, that was helpful.
Yeah. I used to literally script out everything. And the first couple of times I did it, then I could take the script and tuck it away. And I used it over and over and over again. Like I got the muni bond script in my head. I got the equity script in my head. I got the mutual fund script. You know, and they're all the same things, except there are different elements that are inserted that describe the product or the service. Okay, so we're really talking about prospect and client communication to kind of move these people over. You know, let me tell you what our clients value when we're working with them. And this is based on feedback that you've already received. They like the fact that we pay attention to them and their needs. Okay, let me give you an example of what I mean. Tell a story. Okay. All right. So I'm going to tell you the prospecting and client development process is not as hard as you may think, but you have to pay attention to it. You know, in other words, your choice of words and helping to set it up becomes more important. And you've got to know how you're going to go about it on each prospect call. That's why you schedule these people, you know, in advance. They have a folder. You have notes that give you a little more information about them so that you can get up to speed real quick. Now, what happens after you've had this prospect call? You're going to send out a little note, right? A little summary. This is what we discussed. This is what you said was important to you. This is what you said you valued. This is the next step. This is what I'm supposed to do. So now you're pulling all the supernova elements together.
Yeah. I get it. Rodney, do you have any names that you want to just spitball with Curtis? We're over time already.
Okay.
Well, the last two we met with, Hillary and Stacy. Is that what you're thinking about?
I was looking at our list. There's a... You know,
oh, as far
names
as
names on here that I don't know who they are, they're your names. I just wondered if it would be helpful to you to ask something specific, but sure. The two ladies, Hillary, I know her profile. I was going to meet with them in 2017 towards the end of the year and then could never make it happen. I'd done a good enough job asking questions to where they said, well, we could at least explore doing business together, but then we never got it. I sent her a referral of a doctor for some marketing, and she got an engagement agreement with the doctor. And so all I did was call after that and suggest we do a COI meeting, get back together, make sure we understand each side's business. And she brought a partner in, and like I said, that lady self-identified as a possible candidate literally in our meeting. And so
okay.
We've got definitely green light to set a meeting with her. But Hillary was the original COI, but also prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a nice sample for Roger.
Yeah.
Because I really thought, since I already knew Hillary, maybe it would be less invasive for Rodney to pose the meeting,
right.
You know, so we could, you know, share with them how we work with people. We certainly didn't do it at that COI meeting.
So if your target, for example, is 500,000, okay, and you did this each twice a week, 8 times a month, and they're 500,000 and above, and you start getting that pipeline ready, 8 becomes 16, becomes 24, becomes 32 in the pipeline. And with 2 people, that becomes 64 in the pipeline. If you have a 50% close ratio, okay, that means that you open up 32 brand new relationships of 500,000 each or more. You might have some that'll have multiple accounts, parents, their personal accounts, their business accounts, professional corporations. You probably open up more than $500,000 in assets per account. So if you looked at 2 into that, each 2 are a million, divide that into 32, you know, you're going to probably bring in, you know, something like, you know, $12-15 million in new assets. You want to bring in more than that, then up the ante in terms of how many prospects you build up to. And then they get on the schedule, they get on the calendar, and now you're working it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a specific couple, if we want to talk through a, prospect.
Okay. Go ahead. I want to be mindful of your time. I'm happy to take this little extra time with you guys if you guys are fine with it. So, you know, just, you know, go ahead.
Let me check my schedule real quick. The profile here is somebody that I worked with at another firm, and they did not move. I'm connected with him on LinkedIn, and that's about it. You know, I had a good relationship with him, started doing some planning, and then I moved, and just, I'm not sure, you know, if everything's okay with him, or no contact in the last 4 years, but I think they're a good prospect. So okay. Chase and Kelly Rogers, they're no kids, mid-40s, and, you know, probably worth $750,000 at this point.
Okay.
So I think they would be good. They're in Dallas, so they're not too far away.
Okay.
Or at least they were at the time.
Okay. So, you know, one of the ways that you might open up the call is their name is Chase. Okay, so look, Chase, it's been quite
Rogers. Chase and Kelly Rogers.
Chase and Kelly. Okay. So let's just use the first name here. And I'll just use Chase. Chase, it's been quite some time since we've even spoken, and I hope, you know, everything has been going well with you. And, you know, try to get a little dialogue going. What's going on? How's the career? How's the family? And how's Kelly? And blah, blah, blah. But look, one of the reasons for my call is I'm going to be in the area, on next week or the week after. And I wanted to find out if you wouldn't mind meeting me for lunch so that we could catch up and I could describe, you know, some of the things I've been doing with affluent clients like yourself and how we've been helping them, you know, deal with a number of, you know, financial issues. No cost, no obligation, but it would be nice to get together with you. Are you going to be available on Wednesday for lunch at around 1? Because I'm going to be up here, and I'd love to get together with you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your conversation. So now
right.
You've created the opening, and you've closed for a time. So what are you going to do when you get out there? Tell me what you've been doing with yourself all these years. I miss working with you. I thought we had a really good relationship. My business has expanded. I've got a terrific, you know, partner. But the issues in the financial marketplace are still ever present. And so, you know, let's talk about the possibilities of us working together. And I want to know how you feel about that. You've got to come out and ask people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's how I've set it up. Now, you want to leave them with, you know, there's a couple of approaches we can take. I'd like to give you a 90-day free look. You know, between 30, 60, and 90 days, you can see this transformation, how we treat our clients. And if you like it, I would hope that you'd work with us. But if you didn't, then, you know, I'd like to get your feedback on why you want to just kind of stay where you are and do what you're doing, if that would be fine with you. And I'd like to get started with that on blah, blah, blah.
Right. So the good part is you're not hiding anything. You're really quite up front, so they can easily exclude themselves if they just if they're not open or they're, you know, their mom's managing their money or something, and it's just a conflict. They can easily say, hey, no, we don't want to do that.
Right. You know, if you notice in most of kind of my activity, I'm seeking commitment. I don't just have a conversation to have a conversation. Everything is leading towards some type of commitment. You gotta commit your time. You gotta commit to a conversation. You gotta commit to a meeting. You gotta commit to a dialogue. You gotta commit to making some disclosure. But if you just put it out there and there's no commitment, then
yeah.
One side is they don't think that you're that hungry. You know, work for it. I had an essay the other day, you know, we've been working on Supernova, and he said, look, I've been trying to get to this guy who's got $5 million for over a year. And I went out and I described how I work in Supernova, boom, I got the $5 million. And the reason was is that something differentiated him from everybody else, and he went out and sought a commitment. You're not going to win every case, but you're going to win enough to make a significant impact to your business. And here's the other thing I'll tell you in terms of your comfort level. A person with $500,000 can tell you no the same as somebody with $2 million.
Sure.
They can tell you no the same way. So what I want you to begin to get comfortable with is going after the 750s to a million. So that when you do win, you win twice as fast.
It's meaningful, right? It's not going
yeah.
backwards because so many of these, you know, the things that we've historically done really drag us down. I mean, they're calling us to miss opportunities to go after those, the right clients.
Well, and that's why there's 1242. That's why it's 1242. That's why you're delivering this differentiated service. Not everybody is going to qualify for that.
Right.
Okay, so it's this old adage, you know, like, until you get huge, you're going to fake it a little bit until you make it.
Yeah.
But you've got to have the presence of mind that that's who you enjoy really working with. And they've got more problems, too.
Right.
Yeah,
that's where we can add value.
Yeah, that's where you can add value. From my experience, the small account man, this guy was calling up for a quote every other day. The guy with a million or 2 million, man, I never heard from him. I had to initiate those calls because they're busy. Okay, so we didn't get into everything on the growth part. We did talk about client acquisition. We didn't really spend enough time on niche markets. We'll have to come back to that. You know, but I think we did spend time talking about where we can get business. We talked about meeting new people, setting up the meeting, execution, that you have these social engagements that you can, you know, kind of manage through the VIPSA model, the 90-day free look on appointments. So we covered a lot. Now, I have some notes here that I've taken, so the next time we speak, we can go back through that. How was this for you all today?
Excellent for me.
Okay.
Just brought.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it was good. I just I'm feeling like we really need to be clarifying specific to us. I mean, we,
mm-hmm.
again, we don't have all the resources. We don't have a system in place to get new clients. So we're kind of starting from scratch in a lot of these areas. And, you know, we're working in a silo. So those challenges are all unique to us, but man, we still want to put things in place and grow.
Yeah.
So I think the typical Supernova ramp up is going to be different. I mean, it already is. I feel like we're, you know, probably not moving as quickly as a lot of other people would. But I don't know. You're the expert. I mean, you've got to take into consideration all these unique challenges we have, and please, you know, feel free to, you know, advise us and say, okay, you guys, you know, I don't want you to do a board seat, mastermind each, you know, six COIs each, and, what am I thinking of? Facebook or LinkedIn and, you know,
okay.
Internet marketing, you know, social media and that kind of thing all right now. Let's pick one, get that in place, and then let's move on. And, you know, here's your second priority.
Yeah, this is an evolution. This is an evolution. But divide up, you know, some of the responsibilities, but get the VIPSA piece down. Get the COIs down. Okay? And we'll continue to make progress on the other areas.
Okay.
All right. Well, look, you guys enjoy your weekend. Feel free to email me also in between, and I'll respond. And I've taken notes on some of the things we want to piggyback on the next time we speak.
Okay.
All righty. Okay,
thank
guys.
You.
And look, you are doing better than you think you are. So hang in there and hang tough. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.